Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 67 and partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April of the Recording Library of West Texas reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, March 22, 2020. Oil Report. Oil crash. Researchers expect industry slowdown will intensify in second half of year. By Mela McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. Permian Basin producers who already feel they have had the rug pulled out from under them should prepare for things to get worse before they get better. During a recent online webinar on OPEC and non-OPEC production, politics, fundamentals, and near-term outlook, Bernadette Johnson, Vice President of Market Intelligence at Enverus, referenced a graphic that showed a wide gap between crude oil supply and crude oil demand based on International Energy Agency data. That graphic showed approximately 3.5 million barrels of excess crude supply. We are 3.5 million barrels long in supply, she said. That's not sustainable. We may see more price pressure to push that supply out of the market. She said that, beginning mid-year, a combination of a drilling slowdown and wells that were drilled earlier in the year but not yet placed on production could bring U.S. production down by at least 1 million barrels a day. That will fix the gap, but not entirely close it, she said. She said that beginning in June, the country will see a significant reduction in drilling activity. As the energy industry comes to the realization, there won't be a quick recovery. But she offered some hope. The cure for low prices is low prices. The industry won't see the beginnings of a longer-term price recovery until next year. By 2023, prices will look a lot better. Demand will continue to grow. We'll have missed an investment cycle. But this year and next year will be pretty tough. Johnson also speculated that the situation could shake loose the capital markets that have closed the doors on oil and gas firms because assets will become distressed and become available at lower prices. Shale is not dead, she said. The market is working the way it should work. Operators are already cutting back, and when oil prices go back up, activity will ramp up. Throwing some uncertainty into the mix is the developing price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, said Bill Farren-Price, UK director at RS Energy Group. We will see a shakeup in a lot of producing countries. Even some OPEC countries may shake up their producing portfolios, he said. What is different between today, when Russia declined to go along with deeper production cuts that Saudi Arabia wanted, and 2014, when Saudi Arabia took its hand off the till, is today's dynamic, he said. You have to ask if the Saudi action is aimed at the U.S., he said. I think it's more aimed at Russia. I think Russia is focused more on the U.S. It's a complex array of focuses that's not easy to understand. Russia, which benefited less from the production cuts that have supported the prices, has always been more focused on market share, Farren-Price said. If you look at the way they perceive the evolution of the U.S. shale plays and how it was underwritten by their cooperation with OPEC, that and their inability to market their natural gas in Europe roiled Russian oil companies. The Russian leadership decided it wouldn't play ball anymore. They saw some veil in the political project that OPEC has become. Ultimately, Russia and Saudi Arabia and its Gulf country partners will resume talks, he said, but not anytime soon. I think OPEC is ready and waiting to endure a period of very low oil prices, he said. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia is preparing to ramp up production to 12.3 million barrels a day. Much of that will come from storage, Farren-Price said, because to sustain that amount would require additional drilling rigs and work on transportation infrastructure. It will be interesting to see what happens in May and June if they throttle back to just wellhead production, he said. Also adding to that uncertainty is the looming possibility of more crude oil from Libya, which has had its million barrels a day of oil production off the market since January. Any political breakthrough there could allow that supply to return to market, he said. Likewise, Iran, which has been sidelined by sanctions, could return to the market, especially if there's a new occupant in the White House after the November elections who could return the U.S. to the nuclear accord and allow Iranian crude exports to resume. That's a challenge for a market that's already oversupplied, he said. Then there is the NOCAR, non-OPEC, Canadian, American, Russian, production that could bring millions of barrels to the market through exploration finds in Brazil, Guyana, and the Gulf of Mexico Upper Tertiary. With oil prices so low, said Johnson, only a few areas of the Permian Basin remain economic, while most other producing areas will see flat to slightly declining production during the price downturn. Already, she said, producers have made near daily announcements of activity cutbacks, laying down rigs and cutting back on completion crews. We forecast U.S. oil production to grow 260,000 barrels a day, she said. This is early in the process, and we will be revising that forecast down as we get more announcements. Announcements made already have put 30 to 50 rigs out of service, she said, adding that the rig count is expected to fall to 600 or perhaps less. Land company focuses on liens, bankruptcy diligence in troubled energy economy by Mellon McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. In recent months, Midland's Peak Land Services has seen its work evolve along with the economic state of the oil and gas industry. From typical land work, leasing, title, due diligence, the company has broadened its services to include the research necessary to file liens against mineral properties and assisting in bankruptcy due diligence. We have had our clients' best interests in mind, no matter what service we are providing, Cole Frederick, Peakland co-founder, told the Reporter Telegram by email. During trying times like these, it is imperative to have a clear line of communication so that the client and we have a firm understanding of where resources are to be directed. If we are not on the same page with the client, then guiding them properly through filing liens on mineral property cannot be accomplished. As soon as communication is set and goals are defined, we can begin our process. Asked what steps the company takes to ensure it's providing the correct guidance and assistance, he replied, "In regards to filing liens on mineral property, we are well versed on Chapter 56 of the Texas Property Code, which sets out the necessary requirements. In addition to adhering to the rules set forth in Chapter 56, we always like to work in tandem with a reputable law firm who knows the law inside and out. This way, if there is ever a question about how best to handle a particular circumstance of high significance, we, along with the client, can collaborate with the attorneys and properly assess the situation to make the best decision to protect the client. We like to keep the client up to speed on everything and in the know. Timing can be crucial when it comes to filing your lien in the county clerk's office, and having everyone caught up on where the project is allows for efficient decision-making with no wasted time. Above all else, being a service provider ourselves, we understand the vital importance of being paid timely for invoices, so naturally, this is a service we take pride in providing. With oil prices at 18-year lows, Frederick and Mitchell Eberens, also a Peakland co-founder, expect demand for this particular service to continue. We believe that if oil prices stay this low, oil and gas companies or their vendors who have high accounts receivable from companies with heavy debt will keep the service in high demand, Eberens told the Reporter-Telegram by email. A lot of service providers in the Permian, including landmen and land service companies, work on a net 30 to net 120-day invoice structure. This means the services are performed by the vendor far in advance of when they are paid by any client for that particular service. This creates a large buildup of working capital for vendors. With everything going on right now, I think people would rather be proactive and protect their assets. If oil prices remain in the $20, we think there could be a big uptick in bankruptcies. Even if groups don't go bankrupt, there will definitely be a shortage of cash, and when conventional money isn't available, we envision companies leaning on their vendors or service providers to extend payment terms in order to preserve cash flow in the short term. This leaves companies wondering if and when they will get paid. As landmen, we go where the work is, and right now we are just getting a lot of inquiries about this specific service. We hope that prices go up and stabilize here soon so that we can go back to doing conventional land work for our partners in the industry. Peak Land Services LLC provides landman-related services throughout Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Louisiana. The company is headquartered in Midland and has additional offices in Fort Worth and Sacramento, California. Oil Crash Could Further Hamper M&A Market by Mella McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. Already throttled by investors' distaste for the oil and gas industry, the mergers and acquisition market could shrink even further activity amid coronavirus concerns and oil supplies from Saudi Arabia and Russia flooding the market. But longer term, some analysts said more consolidation and distressed mergers and acquisitions could occur, stimulated by lower prices. In the near term, it probably slows things down more. We were already trending toward the bid-ask spread narrowing finally, but this just jumbles it all up, Nate Trella, reporter at Merger Market, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. You have the door open again to have sellers demanding to be paid on $50 oil, saying that the market will snap back. You'll have buyers wanting to value assets based on something closer to $30 oil because that's where we touched, and there's no guarantee things will bounce back anytime soon. Meanwhile, assets around North America that weren't competitive in the 50s or plays still being figured out, like the PRB, won't get as much investment to do the science to prove them up. So how attractive could they become? That being said, there has been pressure to consolidate the operators in specific plays, so that probably will pick up again after this reset. Now, lenders were already uncomfortable with where oil was 2 weeks ago, and that's not getting better. So it's probably an open question as to where the capital would come from to make buys, let alone operate new assets. It could take more equity-only deals, with low or no premiums, similar to what has been working in the mining space. Taking a long-term look at the impact of the oil price crash on shale players, Trella said there are a lot of factors at play. We've already been hearing for years that investors thought there need to be consolidation within the oil patch. You'll see companies that can pull a few levers and get costs down to survive in the low 30s for WTI. Some obviously won't. And just like we saw after prices crashed at the end of 2014, there will be companies that don't make it. How strong the shale driller survivors will be depends a lot on how they get costs down. If it's by getting service companies to slash rates, are those savings sustainable? Those kinds of changes in 2015 and beyond drove some services companies out of business. So, will they demand to get their cut if oil prices come back up? And if you only have a relatively little bit of rock that works at $30, you'll run out of it quicker. So, what's the next move after that? It would depend on how much of the savings come from having good inventory and improving well productivity versus getting services to come in cheap. Theoretically, there could be companies out there sitting on a ton of inventory that works at $30, $35 at today's costs. I couldn't tell you who they are, though. According to Merger Market, the upstream sector accounted for 138 deals valued at $116.5 billion in 2019, inflated by Occidental Petroleum's $54.4 billion purchase of Anadarko. The remaining deals totaled $62.1 billion, or 42% of the $145.9 billion averaged annually the previous 9 years. Permian Basin Better Business Bureau. Contact travel event vendors for cancellation policies. With coronavirus appearing in multiple cities and countries, travel plans and events are being postponed or canceled. Many people are left wondering what to do about purchased tickets they can no longer use. The Centers for Disease Control is providing regular updates to the public on its website, which is an excellent resource for staying informed. The Better Business Bureau has tips on what to do regarding canceled and postponed events. Contact vendors. Contact the airline, hotels, cruise line, or resort you were using to plan your vacation. They can inform you if their area or normal procedures have been affected, and if you can receive a full or partial refund, or even a credit. Consider your health risk. Certain groups are more at risk when it comes to COVID-19. According to the CDC, high-risk groups include older adults and those with serious chronic illnesses. If you fall into one of these groups, you may decide it is in your best interest to cancel your trip or refrain from attending an event, even if it means losing money. If you are not in a high-risk category, you may still consider staying home to prevent spreading illness to someone who is high-risk. Check cancellation policies. If an event is canceled, visit the venue's website or contact the hosting business to find out the cancellation policy. Refunds, exchanges, or rescheduling options may be offered. If the venue is unable to refund your money and the purchase was made on a credit card, you can always contact your credit card company to see if they are able to remove the charge. Review ticket and travel insurances. If you purchased travel or ticket insurance, read the fine print closely. The insurance may not apply if you are fearful to travel or may not cover pandemic situations. If insurance will not refund your money, call the airline or venue directly to see if they have put any policies in place for handling refunds and credits during the COVID-19 outbreak. Watch out for bargain tickets. With widespread cancellations, prices on flights and events are dropping. However, you may want to wait before purchasing that bargain ticket. As the situation and travel regulations evolve, any destination could quickly become inaccessible. This could result in additional cancellation fees, as well as the hassle of ending or postponing your trip. Be cautious of scammers. Scammers are never above profiting off of a crisis, so be diligent in checking for legitimate deals, especially if they are related to the COVID-19 outbreak. Counterfeit face masks and fake cures are being advertised by scammers online as they are taking advantage of high demand and consumer anxiety. If you come across or fall victim to a scam like these, report it at bbb.org/scam-tracker. For more information, contact Heather Macy, Senior Regional Director for the Permian Basin Office of Better Business Bureau, at 741-2592 or HMASSEY at permianbasin.bbb.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading a few more articles related to oil and business from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Here's an article that was published Thursday, March 26th, from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. U.S. halts plan to buy crude after uncertainty over funding, by Stephen Cunningham. The Trump administration halted plans to stop buying oil to top off the nation's emergency stockpile after failing to win funding from Congress, throwing a wrench in its most tangible efforts to help struggling drillers cope with the price rout. The Energy Department said in a notice dated Wednesday that it was withdrawing a March 19th tender for the first part of its plan to purchase 77 million barrels for the reserve. Some have suggested that the Energy Department might come up with the money in its own budget to fund the purchase. Congressional appropriators routinely sign off on internal budget transfers requested by federal agencies. Should funding become available, the Energy Department said it will reissue the solicitation. I don't think the pulling of the tender is the last word on SPR purchases this summer, said Bob McNally, founder of Rapidan Energy Advisors, LLC. The Trump administration is determined to seize an opportunity to acquire cheap barrels and put them into increasingly scarce crude storage capacity, whether by spending cash on hand or coming to terms with Congress. I expect DOE will be buying barrels later this year. The purchases would have targeted small to mid-sized producers that have borne the brunt of the recent market meltdown. Oil futures in New York extended losses Thursday after the tender was canceled and have fallen 61% this year. Lawmakers keen to get a stimulus package to President Donald Trump essentially opted to defer a fight over pairing the oil purchase with funding for clean energy. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer on Wednesday claimed victory after blocking a bailout for big oil, but the issue could return as Congress takes up additional coronavirus-related legislation in coming weeks. Small to medium-sized American energy companies and their employees should be provided the same relief being provided to other parts of our economy, and the Secretary calls on Congress to work with the administration to fund the President's request as soon as possible. Shaylin Hines, a spokeswoman for Energy Secretary Dan Brulette, said by email. The U.S. stockpile, established after the Arab oil embargo in the 1970s, has previously been tapped in response to emergencies such as Hurricane Katrina. The reserve can hold 713.5 million barrels, with some 635 million now stored in underground salt caverns along the U.S. Gulf Coast. And now I'm reading a couple of columns that were published in the Odessa American, Sunday, March 22nd. Here's the column, The Economist, by M. Ray Perryman. The Census. The coronavirus is clearly having notable effects on the markets and the economy, both nationally and in Texas. It is obviously the primary focus of our attention these days, as well it should be. One aspect of the situation, which will almost certainly worsen in the weeks to come, is the strain on the healthcare system. One thing we can all do to help prepare for future problems like the current pandemic is to respond to the census. Accurate census counts are far more than just a matter of interest and curiosity. they are important to ensuring adequate federal funding for various programs, appropriate representation in Congress, and an understanding of demographic trends in order to plan for the future. The economic and fiscal costs of a significant undercount would be substantial. Less funding has the potential to negatively affect the health and well-being of residents of the state, as well as reduce job training, infrastructure investments, housing, and other important programs and initiatives, because about 75% of the funding loss is in health-related programs, an undercount can limit the ability to respond to situations such as the current coronavirus pandemic. We recently analyzed the potential impacts of even a modest undercount, about 1.5%, and estimated that the direct funding losses in Texas would total an estimated $2.1 billion per year. These losses are from reduced funding for programs which are based on the census. The study of potential economic and fiscal costs was conducted as a public service and is available for free download at perrymangroup.com. Direct losses generate negative ripple effects through the economy, which multiply the overall economic harms. Over the 10 years following the count, total losses, including multiplier effects, are projected to be $39.2 billion in gross product and nearly 418,500 job years of employment. In addition, lower funding leads to substantial downstream effects, such as reduced wellness, less infrastructure improvement, greater social service needs, and more limited job training. Downstream effects over the 2021 through 2030 period include an estimated $42.5 billion in gross product and nearly 498,000 job years in Texas when multiplier effects are considered. Reduced economic activity would also lead to lost tax receipts, including $1.98 billion to the state and $1.78 billion to local entities every year. These amounts are over and above the losses from reduced funding for programs. Encouraging responses and ensuring all Texans are counted can assure that Texas receives fair and equitable allocations from federal initiatives over the coming decade, and hence enhance future prosperity in the state. It can also help in preparing for the inevitable challenges that come our way, from labor shortages to congestion to, yes, even pandemics. Fill it out. M. Ray Perryman is the head of the Perryman Group and serves as a distinguished professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. And now here's the second column from the Odessa American's Sunday, March 22nd edition. This column is by Dennis Ellum. Don't get complacent quite yet. What I'm trying to do is prevent the oil and gas sector from disappearing over the next 18 months. Quote by CEO Scott Sheffield, Pioneer Natural Resources. Here is an easy-to-understand Elliott Wave analysis of the stock market decline since the top February 12th at 29,586. Wave 1 down, 29,586 to 25,000. Gee, this is a surprise. What's wrong? Wave 2 up, 25,000 to 27,000. Okay, things are not nearly as bad as the media is making them out to be. Wave 3 down, 27,000 to 19,000. Something is seriously wrong. Energy shares are in shambles. Wave 4 underway. After a record oil price decline, a record percentage increase occurs. Okay, the big guys have this under control. Wave 5. Yet to begin. Prices fall to the 16,000 to 18,000 level, wiping out half of the February 12th market capitalization. I strongly believe this is a short-term guide to what is most likely to happen. While the industrials have declined about 35%, the transports are down 45%, suggesting lower prices ahead. Thursday afternoon, I compiled a potential shopping list of energy shares. The price declines are in the panic zone. Nustar NS has lost 80% of its February high. If it could maintain its dividend, it would be a 35% yield. That is not likely. To this point, we have been told that international majors like ExxonMobil have strong enough balance sheets to weather this storm. But that was a couple of weeks ago. XOM has lost 50% of its market value in 2.5 months. The dividend, if it survives, is a whopping 10%. Is that a buy or an alarm signal for the entire industry? The problem for energy is twofold. First, the Saudis and Russia have engaged in a price war calculated to wipe out the U.S. shale producers. This is having that effect. Second, with everyone staying at home and shipping and airline demand all canceled, there is a lackluster demand for all things energy. This is why Valero, VLO, has lost two-thirds of its value since the February high. The industry is asking for diplomatic help, including sanctions against Russia, asking the Saudis to cut